Hey friends, this is Pastor Ron, Pleasant Grove Church. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen today. And here is some good news from the Grove.
All right, so we're going to be in part number 8 of Fight the Good Fight. We're going to talk about the shoes of peace, Lord willing, today. Let's read this starting in verse number 10. Let's read Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. And let's just see what the Lord has for us tonight, all right? It says, finally, my brethren, or my brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We've talked a little bit about all this. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Quite a grouping of truths there, huh? So you can go ahead and take some time and fill that in. We've kind of done this about every time we come through. I just want it to get lodged in your heart, lodged in your mind. He goes over the whole armor, and this is the order that's laid out in Scripture. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, and he also includes prayer as part of our weaponry. And if you memorize it, it's a little bit easier to memorize it from head to toe, remember? Let me give you a second to write all that down. Now, all of these are like blessings that the Lord has given to us. New covenant blessings. Shown us His truth. He's given us His righteousness. He's extended His peace to us. He gives us faith by His faithfulness. Salvation, saving grace of God. All of this is all part of new covenant blessing. All right, so let's remember it together, all right? So let's start at the head. It's the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, your loins girt about with truth, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You take the shield of faith, you got the sword of the Spirit, and we pray, right? So you kind of go head to toe right there. All right. All right, so let's see what we got here. Let's do a little bit of review. So the instruction in all of this is that you take it upon yourself to put on the whole armor of God. That's our instruction, right? I just was thinking about that today, actually, and I just kind of wrote this little slide out. Upgrade your technology. You know, for this particular war, you're going to have a whole new technology, if I can use it kind of in modern terms. That our human weapons, the way we fight our battles, humanly speaking, are not going to be successful in this kind of warfare. So we got to trade our human weapons for God's weapons, for the same weapons Jesus used, actually. We can have the same armor that Jesus had, and Jesus is even willing to teach us some of His skills. That's what He does. And He sent the Holy Spirit for that reason, too. So we can go into our battles with the same tools that Jesus won with. That's what these are, the truth. He was full of grace and truth. He was right in everything that He did. He was full of righteousness. You know, He's the King of righteousness, all those kind of things. But upgrade your technology. That'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? Now listen to what He says about our weapons right here. It's talking about upgrading. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. It's another good spiritual warfare passage. We may unpack it a little bit more a little bit later. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not human in nature, right? Or of the flesh, Paul would maybe say in another place. They're not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now, what's a stronghold? Just kind of break that word in half. What's it? A stronghold is something that's got what? It's got a strong hold on somebody. can be addictive. Well, all sin's addictive in nature anyway. But it could be a habit. It could be a sin problem. It could be all kinds of mental, all kinds of stuff. And he says that the word of God or the weapons of God are strong enough to pull down these things that got a strong hold on us. All right. These weapons are also able to help us cast down arguments and every high thing. I always have liked that phrase, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So these weapons are for designed for those things right there. Those are all strategies against us that the enemy uses. I like the idea of every high thing because the enemy always puts himself like on the same level as God, and he speaks high and lofty things. I mean, in the garden, it started there. Did God say? He put himself kind of on the same level, and he began to try to get them to exalt their knowledge or their will against the knowledge of God, all that kind of thing. So these you can upgrade your technology, and this is what will happen once we learn to use it. All right. We've looked at the belt of truth. We talked about the belt of truth being Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And of and the same, but separate, God's Word, which we know as the Scriptures of the Bible, would also be the idea of truth. So it's the truth that holds everything together. Remember we talked about that belt that's there? The belt actually pulls all the armor together. It's not just like a belt, like I got this little leather belt on right now. This is more like a utility belt in one sense. You know, like an officer of the law may have these days. They got a utility belt, and it's got all kinds of stuff on it. Same way with the Roman belt. It tied the breastplate together with the loin belt. It kept things stable and situated the way they're supposed to. There was a place for the sword to go. There was a place for the shield to hook on the side. All these kind of things. And the idea, the picture is that truth is what holds us all together. It holds everything together. It's the foundation that we build upon. Because if this is not true and Jesus is not who he says he is, then it's just a scam. But if it's true, it holds everything together. It holds all of reality together. In fact, God himself holds all of reality together. Right? It's the foundation, or it's the core. And it works like this. We get the truth of God in us, and we become a truthful person, a truth lover, and a truth teller. Psalms have a little bit of that kind of spin on it. Of course, truth is always mixed with wisdom and grace, too. We always got to remember that. Then we talked about righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness. To be righteous means to be made right. Right? And you think about where that breastplate is. We didn't really get into that when we talked about a lot of it. There's so much when you're dealing with righteousness. That the breastplate there, you see a picture of it there. The breastplate, it covers the heart and all the vital organs, right? And Proverbs 4:23 says this, to keep your heart or guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it spring the issues of life. It's real important. And it's a heart that's been made right and a heart that wants to do right. It's a very protective thing. God can help us to guard ourselves to where we don't find ourselves in the wrong place. All right? You know how not to be in the wrong place? Be in the right place. Isn't that right? So we are made righteous by Christ. Because of his righteousness, he shares that with us. We are made righteous, and then we hunger and thirst after righteousness. And Jesus said, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, can't say that word, they will be what? They will be filled. You know what he said on the Sermon on the Mount? And then we pursue righteousness in our life. That's, we have a desire to be right. We want to be right with God. We want to be right with our fellow man and our fellow women. That may be a little more challenging sometimes. Anyway, y'all good? Y'all, I say these kind of things just to see if y'all are listening. You know that? I might need to get some bodyguards. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Excuse me? Oh, pursue. Yeah, correct that. Sorry. My spell check didn't catch that one because it's a word too, right? All right, so here's this thought. you got this creative way that Paul just talks about some of the blessings of the new covenant that's given to us. So we go into the battle spiritually dressed with the armor of God, right? That's what he's talking about. We can go into our battles. That would be the battle for temptation, the battle with ministry, helping folks, helping other folks get their ox out of the ditch, all those kind of things. We go into the battle spiritually dressed with the armor of God, and we go into the battle with the Lord at our side. So get that picture now. We go dressed in the armor of God, but we also go, and we don't go by ourselves now. We go with the Lord being with us. All right? And y'all probably don't know who Reverend Ike is, but he was a guy that was on TV years and years ago. But he used to say this kind of stuff. He said, "You can't lose with the stuff I use." You know, y'all don't look up Reverend Ike. He's out there. But anyway, but that saying just stuck with me. And you think about that. If you got the armor of God and you got God himself with you, you got Jesus with you, what's that going to lead to? Well, Paul would say something like this, that Christ leads us to triumph every time, in everything. All right. Look at what he says right here. Let's get to a new piece right here. In Ephesians 6:15, he says this, "Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Right? So it gives us a new piece. So we've got the belt of truth, we've got the breastplate of righteousness, and now he begins to talk about our feet. We got protective wear on our feet. See that guy right there? The Roman soldier. It's kind of a recreation of an ancient Roman soldier. Imagine having a whole army of those guys coming at you. It'd be rough. Because in that day, that would have been the best technology that was available, without a doubt. All right? Now, we're going to see his picture a lot. Now, here's the Roman shoes. Okay, just kind of give you a picture. Again, Paul's going through this creative way to explain all this to us. He's probably sitting in a Roman prison, and there's probably a guard there that he's looking at, and he begins to get this revelation by the Spirit of God, and he begins to write to the church, this is what this is all about. Because they would have known this. They would have seen this everywhere they went. They would have been Roman soldiers, right? Now look at these Roman shoes. You see, they got the leather straps and the sandals there, and look at the bottoms of the shoes. You see, like cleats kind of thing. They would have cleats on these sandals for obvious reasons, right? Firm footing on the battlefield, that kind of deal. You see, those are kind of blunt, studded, but some of the sources I've read, they could be an inch, 2 inch, up to 3 inches thick. They found some of them. So you imagine that. I mean, but you got some of these battles that's up in the Gaul area, which is France and all that kind of swamp and all that kind of stuff. So you got spikes on your shoes so they can get better footing in wet terrain and all that kind of stuff. So the shoes would have consisted of that for sure, with the cleats on it and all that kind of thing, spikes, whatever you want to call them. And look at the shin guards he's got. That would also have been part of his protective wear, the shin guards. And you think about from a Roman perspective, because it all applies spiritually now, from Roman perspective, what would happen if you're on the battlefield and you lose your legs? Or you get an injury? Or if you're in a fight, hand-to-hand combat, it's the way it was back then. And you lose your footing. Yeah. You're done. You're done for. So the shoes become very, very important. You kind of get this idea of this picture. All right, so now he calls these shoes gospel shoes, the gospel of peace kind of deal. All right? And, of course, the word gospel simply means good news. Right? So it's the feet for the Christian warrior are shod with the gospel of peace, the preparation of the gospel of peace, the readiness of it all. And there's a word in there, the feet are shod. We don't use shod. Anybody shod at anything lately? Your feet are shod. It just simply means to be tied tightly. Like you see those leather straps that was there for the sandals? See, those leather straps, to have that shod, that would be to wrap it tight. Why would you need your shoes tight? Well, we all had kids, a kid walking around with the shoestring out and all that kind of stuff. It's an accident waiting to happen. Now put them on a battlefield and they're in trouble, right? So these sandals are one with their foot, basically, so that they can be prepared, so they can be ready. So with the preparation of the gospel peace, that you're ready, you stand ready. All right? Just thinking through this, and the idea of what he's communicating to us right here is that you need to be tightly tied or connected to Jesus, the Prince of Peace. That's how you get your foot. Is your connection with him. right? And then you're, and that prepares you for battle. So here's some good news about this gospel of peace. The Hebrews writer says this. He quotes from Jesus here. He says, "For he himself, for Jesus has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's Hebrews 13:5. That's a wonderful covenant promise, isn't it? This idea that, that he's with us all the time. Again, we talked about that before, that we just mentioned it. It's not that I just have the whole armor of God, but he's with me too. He's with me in the battle. All right. Here's another one. Very familiar. Psalm 23:4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." That's pretty good news. That my shepherd's with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So in this battle now, again, he's forming all this life as a battle. A Christian on the battlefield, fighting against the enemy. The good news is the Lord is with me. He's talking about the gospel of peace on the feet, right? So the Lord is with me every step of the way. And according to Psalm 23, even in the dark, shadowy or shady places, he's with me. And sometimes the battle goes there, doesn't it? And if you live long enough, it'll go there. I promise you. We have to walk through that, but we don't ever have to go into those battles by ourselves. That's good news. That's good news that can, if you absorb it and experience it the way God has written it and the way he wants it to be in our lives, then you go into those battles. You still have to fight them. You still have to face it, do all those kind of things, but you can go in peace knowing he's with you. All right. All right. So now three reasons for these shoes of peace. There's probably more, but came up with these three. Number one, protection. Number two, to stand firm. And number three, to march forward. Protection, stand firm, march forward. So the gospel of peace will help us in these areas. The peace of God is going to protect us. The peace of God is going to help us stand firm. The peace of God is going to help us march forward. All right? All right, so now let's break those down. Protection. Y'all good? Y'all writing? You caught up with me? No. Nope. Right there? The gospel of peace helps us take off a couple weeks and y'all get out of shape. My goodness.
You're just too fast.
I don't know. You got it? Everybody good now?
I'm good.
Are we at peace now? Since we're talking about peace. All right. Let's talk about protection. Gospel of peace gives us protection, the Lord of peace, the Prince of peace. So we got lots of enemies to face. We saw the listing of some of them, principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness. We got lots of enemies. We got lots of situations that are more than challenging. We got lots of scenarios that life throws at us, good, bad, and ugly. You got lots of people and personalities, and some people with multiple personalities. That makes it even rougher. And we encounter all this in life. From day to day, really. And the promise here that he's telling us is that God's peace will protect and guide us. That peace is something that protects us. That God's peace protects us every step of the way. That God's peace, just the things that would pop up, you think about it, God's peace will protect us from fear. That God can give you a peace that can pass your understanding, Paul says. Past the way you comprehend, God gives you a peace that passes all understanding. You walk through that valley of shadow death, you go through a really dark place in life, and you're okay. Now, things aren't okay, but you're okay. That's a possibility. That's part of the promise. That's part of the covenant. And we can walk through a very dangerous and difficult place and be protected by God's peace. All right? We can be protected from fear and anxiety and worry and all the things that plague our minds. Peace protects us from the lies of the enemy, from discouragement, all these kind of things. Peace can protect us from sin, too. God can bring conviction to us and disturb our peace to say, I know you do not need to go there. Right? Works that way, too. And notice this idea of protection and this idea of the warrior being at peace. The war is raging. In this text right here, in your life. The war is raging, but he makes a promise right here that the warrior can be at peace. Now think about that now. The war can be raging. In fact, you know what? That's really what the military trains you for battlefield experience. They train you for that. That you go into a chaotic situation, but you're not chaotic. Isn't that the way it is? Supposed to be anyway. They train you to such a degree with your weaponry, with the strategy, with your team, and all the things you're going to face. And they put you in these scenarios, and they train you so that when you get into the battle, the war's raging, but you're cool. And you're calm. And you can maneuver. You can do what you need to do, right? I think Paul's talking about the same thing. So the war can be raging, but the warrior needs to be at peace. Still got business to take care of. Still might get a little wild, but the warrior needs to stay at peace. All right? Now listen to what he says about peace and protection right here. One of my favorites, Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Somebody needs to count one of these times in all of my sermons when I say something's my favorite. That'd make a good little highlight reel, wouldn't it? I say it at least once or twice a week, don't I, Miss Sheila? At least. But it's true. I got a lot of favorites. Listen to this. God, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, which is abbreviated for Yahweh, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. You will keep, see that word keep right there. It's not just like keep in a box. It's the word guard. You will guard it. And you will keep them in perfect peace. But what's the condition on that promise? What do you have to do? In order to stay at peace, what do you got to keep your mind on? What happens if I keep my mind on my problems too much? What happens with my peace? It kind of peace level. Here's a correlation. The more I trust God, the more peace I experience. The less I trust God, the more my peace gets disturbed. And I can get to a place where I lose faith and lose sight of things and lose sight of God, and boom, I'm like Peter. One day I'm walking on water, I lose sight of Jesus, and boom, I'm sinking now. We all know that experience too, don't we? All right. So that'd be interesting to meditate on. Get with the Holy Spirit and just get a pen and paper, your phone or something, type it out and say, Lord, what do you mean by keeping my mind stayed on you? What how can I do that? You ought to spend some time meditating on that. See what the Holy Spirit says to you. Because if my peace is tied to me keeping my mind on him, stayed on him, focused on him, I might want to figure out how to do that more, especially if you're going through a season and a crisis, all right? And I mean, there's peace, but what kind of peace does he call this? Perfect peace. So there's peace, and then it seems to me like there's perfect peace. Well, look at Jesus. Storm's raging, boat's rocking, disciples bailing. Freaking, what's Jesus doing? He's asleep. He's asleep. That's a picture of a perfect peace, really. Everybody else is panicking. Don't you even care that we're dying? And, man, I was in the middle of a good dream right here, you know.
Until the garden. Hmm? Well, then he was sweating blood.
But he never lost his peace. It didn't seem like he lost his peace. He just went into high fight mode, is what I said, you know. Intensity. You know, everything was head on at that point in time.
The rubber was meeting the road.
Without a doubt. And the sin of the world and every devil in hell was at him at that point in time, without a doubt. So I'm interested in knowing what perfect peace is, aren't you? I would like to have some of that. I need more of that. All right? All right. Now, so there's protection. Gospel of peace gives us protection. It also helps us to stand firm. All right, so this is going to be a big repeat right here, but I want you to see something. Anytime you see something repeated like this in Scripture, that is the revelation. It is being repeated for a reason. And like one of my teachers always said in college, that repetition is the mother of all learning. So here we go. Think of those spike Roman shoes again. Remember the picture we talked about with the spikes? Maybe they were studs. Maybe they were inch, 2 inch, 3 inch kind of thing. Think of those Roman shoes spiked, how they helped the soldier stand firm. Keep his feet planted, right? Not backing up, not backing down. Don't have to. I'm ready. I'm equipped. I can face anything. Not only that, I got my buddies with me. That's another part of this battle too. But we'll get to that later. Here's what God wants for us. If you read this passage, even just verse 11, 12, or 13, right there, just in that part. He says, I want you to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Not tuck, tail, run, but stand against. It's the idea of standing firm. It's like, I ain't going nowhere. In fact, that takes me back years and years ago when I was young one time. I was in the karate studio, and we're on the mat, and the instructor's there. I'm in my 30s at that point, late 30s probably. The instructor, he was a bad dude now. He's like third or fourth degree black belt. He was there, and he made a challenge to everybody. Some of them were little kids, you know. But he got in his stance, his fight stance, and he said, I want any of y'all at a time, one at a time, come and try to move me. Try to just move me from my stance. He was trying to teach us how important it is to stand firm and get in the right stance. And he would come and he'd push this one aside and this one aside, and it was my turn. So I was going to take him, and he had a little maneuver he had for me. He's going to take the big boy down. But I couldn't move the guy. He was standing firm. And if you stand firm, you got the upper hand, right? So Paul right here says to stand against or to stand firm. Like you're not pushing me back. You know, I fought too hard to get here. And the enemy is not pushing me back. He tries. He still comes with some of his same stuff. But I am not going back. That's this idea right here that I'm going to stand against. I'm going to stand firm. And I may not go forward this today, but I ain't going backwards. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you got to be that. Sometimes it's not the day to push forward. Sometimes it's just the day to push against. You know, so we don't go backwards. And then he says in verse 13, the first part of it, he says, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now, to withstand is a little bit more intense than just stand. Now, standing firm can be intense. But now we're opposing to the point we're resisting and pushing back. It's not, now I'm not taking this no more. You know, I stood my ground, I'm here, and now we're pushing him back to take the ground back that we need to take. Whether it be in our families or our own personal lives or somebody else's life, whatever, communities, society, church, whatever it might be, that now we're withstanding, we're resisting to the point of pushing back, right? And then in the last part of verse 13, having done all to stand. So look at it. Stand against, withstand, and stand. It says all that in just a few words, a few sentences right there. The point of all this is that we stand against what the enemy's doing in our life and somebody else's life, right? So you see the picture. I'm not going backwards. I'm eventually going to get my wind, and I'm going to push back. I'm going to take ground, and then where I take that ground, I'm going to set my foot in a new place, and I'm not going back. And I'm going to push the ground. I'm going to get here. Let's think about I always say this, but it's just a reality in our life. I think about with our kids, you know, where they are on the grown right now. We're fighting for them on the spiritual level. We're fighting for them. We're fighting for them instead of with them, finally. You know, there's a big difference. But we're fighting for them, and we're like, okay, yeah, we see some good stuff. We're going to stop right there. We're going to stay encouraged. We got a new place to stand now. It may be a half inch from where we were, but it's a new place. We keep taking ground, until we see the breakthrough that we need to see in them or in us or whatever needs to happen. You know what I'm talking about? You know how that is in life, period? It could be anything. May not be just kids, might be finances. Might be just up here, just dealing with that old squirrely brain we got. All right. Any questions? You good? You good back there, Billy? All right. So let's go to the third part. Protection, standing firm, and marching forward. So these shoes of peace are to help us displace the enemy and take new ground in people's lives. So there are times the peace protects us. There are times that we push forward. It helps us stand. And we just maybe push against it. Now we're talking about marching forward. We're talking about like effective ministry at this point. All right? And we don't have time to unpack all of this, but this would be you could write a book on each one of these subjects right here. This marching forward has to do with me being at peace with God. Now I'm reconciled to God. We're no longer fighting. We're no longer at war with each other. We're in covenant together. I got peace with God. Me and God are good because of Jesus. He's forgiven me. Now I have the peace of God. That's a little bit different idea of peace, a little different expression of peace. Peace with God, then the peace of God. You know, Jesus said when he left, he said, "My peace I give to you." That he wants to give to all his, he wants to give his peace, the peace of God that he has, he wants to give it to us. And that peace guards us and it guides us. Colossians talks about let the peace of God rule your hearts. We don't have time to get into that, but that's a whole nother teaching. Let the peace of God rule your heart. Got a decision to make? I need the peace of God to help me make that decision. That word rule is the word umpire. Let the peace of God umpire the decision. What's the umpire do in the ball game? Yeah. He makes people mad. Exactly what they do. He makes the call, doesn't he? He makes the call, whether he's safe or out. Or it's ball or strike. That's what the umpire does in the baseball game. And Paul says that in Colossians. I can't think of the text right now. 3:15, I think. Let the peace of God rule your... Let the peace of God be the umpire over your life. Got a decision to make? I feel good about it. It feels like it's right. I'm not just feeling it like fleshly, but in my spirit, man, I feel like this is the right way to go. And I go here and I go here. And then I get a check in, what we kind of say, I get a check in my spirit. What is that? Like, something may not be right. So you at least slow down, at least, right? And you may stop because my peace is now disturbed. So that lets me know maybe God's trying to say timing is not right, the decision's not right. In other words, I'm letting the peace of God make the call. You see what I'm saying? So it guards me. It helps me. It helps me in my decision making. You ever had a big decision to make and you couldn't sleep? What's that? So we got to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit in these things. It's not just, you know, well, sometimes it can be pizza, obviously. But other times, you know, we're laying this thing before the Lord. He wakes you up, disturbs your peace. Maybe we need another option here. You see what I'm talking about? Let the peace of God, His peace guards us. It's a protection mode. Right? But I get a green light on that deal. I feel good about it. It's peace all the way through. Boom. It's a go. You see what I'm talking about? And of course, it's supposed to work in a marriage like this that, okay, I feel good about it. Sandy gets a check in her spirit. We're supposed to be one. So we come back to the table and say, okay, what are you feeling right here? Tell me. I think that's important in marriage. Right? Because she does see things and hear things that I don't hear or see. Of course, she also hears things I don't say. But anyway, it's enough. that's another thing. No. But I need that other set of eyes and ears. I need her spirit at the table too when we're making a decision like that now. It helps me because God may not, he may want to use her and talk to her and bond us together in a different way, you know. So marriage works that way too, all right. So we go peace with God, peace of God, and we become peacemakers. This is where God wants to take us, to where we have been reconciled to God, and now we take up the mantle of the ministry of reconciliation that Paul talks about. Now you become peacemakers. And peacemakers are is it could be a person helping bring peace between other people. But what I think he's talking about, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed the peacemakers that he's really referring to, I believe, are the people that help other people make peace with God.
Well, that would be the reconciliation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the ministry of reconciliation. It's now we take on that mantle to help people find Christ. All right. So we've got to march forward. Now look at some of this. We're almost done here. Romans 16. Paul signs off the letter to the Romans with this phrase right, with this verse right here. And then he begins to tell everybody goodbye. Romans 16:20, it says, "And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Now think about that. The God of peace will crush Satan. How? How? Under your feet. Who's going to do the crushing in this next phase of the game? Of the battle? We are. The God's going. It kind of goes right hand in hand with Ephesians 6, what he's talking about. You've got the sandals of peace. You've got your shoes of peace on. And you can do some things, and God's going to help you. And I want to drive them spikes all the way through that joker. He doesn't give me fits. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, here's some additional scriptures. We won't take the time to read them, but a lot of these passages deal with feet and our walk. Maybe some things you want to put to prayer over the next few days. Just the Psalms talks a lot about this whole idea of walking in peace and being at peace and our path and all those kind of things. All right, that's some real, real good stuff right there. Close with this, a blessing. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. It's the other 3:16 in the Bible. You know, we've got John 3:16. This is 2 Thessalonians 3:16. It says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all." Amen. I mean, you got your shoes on? You got your gospel shoes on? Ready for myself, whatever I may face in temptation, all that kind of thing, but also ready to help somebody else.